You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, also at Locked On Brewers, and on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnBrewers as well. What was that? New intro music. They're making me stop. I'll be honest with you, okay? Just going to be straight up. That's how I am. I'm not running for elected office or anything, but I'm just going to be honest with you. They made me stop using the other music because, yeah, it might have been illegal. I don't know. I mean, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm just going to plead ignorance, but I can't use it anymore, even though I loved it. No. So we're going to do some, you know, hardcore, like, boom, you know, we're Locked On Brewers. It's a good way to start the show. So keep tuning in for that as the off season and next season rolls along here. I'll pump you up. Speaking of pumped up, we got a good show today. Matt Pauly is going to join us. We did a joint podcast. The same podcast is on that will air here will air on his today and vice versa. So we have our conversations. More of a conversation than an interview either way. And it was kind of long, so we'll get to it because we covered a lot. We talked about a lot of good banter back and forth. And Matt Pauly is the host of the Brewers Extra Innings podcast, also the post-game host for the Brewers on WTMJ Radio in Milwaukee. So he's in it every day and takes calls and listens to fans, and it's good. So he's with the flagship station and always has a good perspective. Always love having him on the show. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Matt Pauly, and started with just to talk about how the Brewers season already seems like it was a really long time ago.
I don't know about you. Does it feel like it's just been forever since the Brewers season came to an end?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I feel that way with the Brewers. I also felt that way about the Bucks when they got knocked out to that length to the end of the NBA Finals. And I feel the same way about the Brewers. I mean, I think that we all, I guess, didn't expect much from, you know, the Dodgers series in the playoff opener. And so, I don't know, maybe we felt like the season was over before it even was, so to speak. And you kind of go through all that. It's only been less than a month still. And here we are playing in the World Series. And I guess it's all right on time with where the World Series would be anyway. But, you know, it just doesn't feel like it, right? Not at all.
No, it's weird. I mean, to see it in a neutral site and just you don't see crazy fans. And I don't know about you, but like I got used to that during the regular season and most of the postseason. But I feel like even with the limited fans, it really feels like, okay, you're playing for a championship here and you're playing in front of 10,000 people or whatever it is. It's really a weird deal.
Yeah, when the camera goes to the crowd and you see fans. Actually, I was caught off guard by it originally when it first happened. I think I'd heard that they were going to have fans, but I wasn't. I'd put it away somewhere in my, you know, back of my mind, and all of a sudden there's actually people. And I was trying to figure out if Fox was trying to superimpose it, but then I was like, well, why would they superimpose a half-empty or three-quarters empty stadium? So this must be real. You know, and they're out there cheering, and yeah, you see it, but it's not the same. It's not the same anywhere, right? It's the age we live in. And, I don't know how long this is going to be the new normal. I guess to that point, I'm wondering what you think, because I've been talking a lot on the podcast about, you know, where 2021 is going to place us. You know, what's spring training going to look like? What's the early part of the season looks like? You know, it looks like we're not going to have a mass vaccine available until at least that time frame, maybe even into June next year. And I don't know if that's even the marker for, okay, we can have everybody back in these stadiums and fill the seats. I mean, it's so up in the air. But, you know, what do you hear, if anything, about what is going to happen, you know, for 2021 and how this is all going to pan out?
Yeah, I think what they're doing right now, what they did in the NLCS and what they're doing in the World Series is kind of a template for the very least that they would want to do next year in terms of fans. So you at least get some fans back in the stands. And not to make this a public health podcast here,
yeah,
but I mean, it's like we're seeing this in the NFL where some markets you've got some fans and some markets you don't have fans. And this isn't true across the board because unfortunately this has gotten political, but at least the idea behind that would be you look at the state of affairs in every individual market, and then you make decisions from there. Wouldn't you think that would have to be the same sort of deal if the vaccine has not gone to a point next year where there is mass distribution? Wouldn't they have to basically go look at each market and see where things are at and then make decisions from there?
Yeah, I don't see any way around it. And I guess, you know, obviously right now we're here in Wisconsin and we're spiking like crazy, and so it doesn't make you feel good. But, you know, opening day is a long way off. And you know, the thing I'm thinking, Matt, is how does this affect the Brewers as it relates to other teams? I mean, maybe you get a few fans in the stands, but you got to, you know, understand the economics of this, that the Brewers – have depended, you know, so much more on their gate than large market teams do as a portion of the, you know, the revenue that they bring in. We saw the report that they lost $171 million estimated because of no fans in the stands. I thought that was low when I saw it. I mean, I would think it'd be more than that when you factor in everything. And so, you know, I have no idea what to think and about how this affects the club and what they're going to do this offseason. And I have no idea if the Brewers know what to think about it. You know, I don't know from top down if they have any idea how to approach this offseason. What do you think?
Yeah. And here's the thing. The information, you hit it spot on, because the information that we know today might be completely different than the information we know tomorrow. That's why I think free agency is going to be the slowest moving free agency that we have ever seen, because every day that goes by, you get closer to the season, you get a little bit more of an idea. Like what I'm about to say, I'm not predicting is going to happen, but let's say there's a scenario where one of these vaccines absolutely 100% without a doubt works, and this distribution system that they have is incredible, and there's a complete buy-in from the population of the United States where 70-80% of people can be vaccinated with the first shot in December and the second shot in February, and you know 80% of the country has this vaccine in March, and like everything's going to be good. If that's the scenario, then you can plan for a year with a lot more revenue. Yeah. If it's the exact opposite, if these trials that are going on right now keep having hiccups and they eventually get to a point where they aren't going to go widespread on the distribution and everything, and we're in basically the exact same situation right now as we are, say, in April, May, June, then the finances look completely different. So I don't know. When you're a team like the Brewers that rely so much on gate, I don't know how you go about making any decisions that are based on finances. And not to go on like on a rant here, but so it's a lightning rod issue when it comes to finances, because there's a group of people out there that are going to yell and scream how poor the Brewers are and how they have no money, yada, yada, yada. And then there's another group out there that's going to tell you that the organization's cheap and they've got all this money coming in from Major League Baseball and the TV money, and they don't spend anywhere near to the point that they could spend, and they are just swimming in money. And the truth is in between. Could they spend a little bit more money than they've spent? Sure. But have they also taken the payroll over the last few years to levels that it hadn't been before? Yeah, they've done that too. So it's a really tough situation, I think, when you're a team that does rely on gate revenue as much as the Brewers do to be in this situation they're in right now.
Yeah, and I would think that we're in a situation where, just I guess to your point, and I don't know how many clubs are going to be in this situation, but maybe we're in a situation where, again, it's kind of like previous year's free agency where nothing happens, at least on the Brewers front, till, you know, February or late January or even into spring training, because it's just I don't think they're going to jump at anything when they don't know what's going to happen. And you know, I know that there's those fans out there, like you say, that just don't buy it and they think the Brewers are rolling in cash. I don't buy that for a second when you just examine predominantly, you know, their TV deal and how it gets them, you know, marbles, I guess, or little, you know, pea gravel next to the Cubs or the Dodgers or the big market teams. And, you know, it all falls on a line from the top, the Yankees, all the way down to the Brewers and, I guess, the Rays, is being really small market teams who don't produce a lot of revenue. But, you know, I don't think that they're rolling in cash and hiding it. I don't buy that Mark Adonasio's disingenuous when he had to cut the salary. I wish he hadn't done it last year. It caught me by surprise, but it tells me that there's no way that that guy, I think, is trying not to compete and just pocket money. It doesn't make any sense, right? So this is just unprecedented. And a guy like that, who is, of course, a very savvy businessman, he's not going to go out and try and solidify the Brewers middle of the order by spending a bunch of money. I mean, I just don't see that happening this offseason, because it could set the club back a long ways if it doesn't work out and they don't have fans come through the gates this year. So it just, it makes me nervous, right? Because I now, on the other hand, too, there's a whole other question out there of, well, is Omar Narvaez really that bad? Is Avisel Garcia going to be able to hit a few more home runs? Christian Yelich, come on, right? You can't be that bad again for a whole season. So they've got to be better offensively than what they were. Not saying they're a juggernaut, but they've got to be a little better, one would think.
Yeah, I mean, all three of those guys you would think would be right there for a bounce back. And I will say that I think one area, and I don't know if it's going to work out this way or not, I feel one area that maybe the Brewers could add to the roster and do so in a financially responsible way, for lack of a better term. If I was a free agent who was young enough that I feel like I've still got a bunch of years left, I wouldn't want to sign a multi-year deal this offseason. I don't think I'm going to get the money. So if I'm a free agent, I am a lot more interested in a one-year deal. And we know the Brewers are more than willing to take guys in on one-year deals. That's how they got Yasmani Grandal. So maybe that's how they add to this team, with guys that make the strategic decision not to take a multi-year deal this offseason.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can, and they love one-year deals. And you know what? So do I as a fan. Maybe I'm just such a sycophant, or that's the wrong word. Maybe I bought into this narrative about the small market team so much that even when they sign a guy to a multi-year deal, I shudder. You know, it's like I own the team or something, because I'm like, oh God, that's a lot of money. Are you sure you want to do that? Because I'm so ingrained in the we don't have the money, we don't have the money kind of mentality. It's a little crazy. So I love it when they get a guy for a one-year deal too, and I don't have to worry about if he's a complete bust. And we'll pin the Brewers into a hole for years to come, because we've kind of been through that before. So, you know, maybe that is a good thing. You know what? Lockdown Brewers brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the way to go if you're looking for that keto-friendly protein diet bar. That's not diet bar. It's a protein bar, and it's good stuff because it's good flavored. You got 18 flavors. That's a lot to choose from. You can try out a bunch of different ones by going to builtbar.com. Great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. Right now, go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You get 20% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. We continue now our conversation with Matt Pauly here on Lockdown Brewers. I can't believe, when I sit and think about it, I just can't believe how they're, you know, how they can even function right now with all of these questions up in the air. There's just so many unknowns. And, you know, it's just, I guess it's fun to kind of watch play out and see when we'll get some answers. But I just, this is really quite something. And I want to get your take on this too, Matt, because I don't put a ton of weight into this 60-game sprint they just had. I mean, I referenced Narvaez and Garcia. I just don't think they should put too much weight on the performances over 60 games. I feel like that would be a mistake. How do you look at this 2020 season?
Yeah, I agree. I would establish track record as something to be more important to look at than the results of this 60-game season for a multitude of reasons. A, it's 60 games.
Yeah.
It's not enough games to really – anybody can – You can have a bounce back year even after having a bad first 2 months of the season. That happens very often. Everything that went into it, with the spring training cut short, the summer camp, the spring training 2.0, whatever you want to call it, I think we've learned that really long period of time for spring training probably is a necessity. Like every year, we always think, oh, do they really need to be doing this for this long? Yeah, they do. If you want a high level of baseball, they do need to be doing this for that long. They asked specifically to Omar Narvaez. I think he was also impacted by the fact that they asked so much of him in terms of improving his defense. And I think the focus so much was on that, that perhaps it took away from his offense. I talk about this all the time. When I was working as a minor league broadcaster, specifically when I was working in AAA, there'd be guys that an organization would send down to AAA to work on a different position they've played before. And every single time, they were not the same offensive player. They were spending so much time focused in on the defensive stuff that it impacted them from an offensive standpoint. And I believe that's part of what happened with Omar Narváez.
Yeah, the thing about it is he was so, and we all know this, he was so lauded. I mean, everybody thought, well, okay, he'll be Osmani Grandal on offense. But the whole rap on him, of course, was just the fact that not only was his defense poor, but people were talking about he's just the worst defensive catch you've ever seen. And, you know, that'll stick. That'll jump on a guy, especially if, you know, he's 28, 29, so he's not that young. But, you know, I'm sure he's got a lot of pride. And he ended up being a very serviceable, if not, I'd maybe say good, defensive catcher. The Brewers worked with him and turned him into that. Well, sometimes that can have a cost. I mean, same theory with Avisail Garcia. He has to move to center early in the season when, you know, Kane opts out, and maybe that affected his offense. Maybe it affected his power numbers a little bit. You know, there's just so much to you know, you can make so many excuses for the whole situation. No fans, COVID, the crazy schedule, their lives, they're worried about loved ones, the whole nine, right? And everything that happened this year. And it looks like, too, you know, when you kind of take a step back and look all around baseball, a lot of really great players had bad years in this 60-game sprint. And so, boy, you better hope that's the case with Christian Yelich. And I do. I mean, I shouldn't say hope. I feel that that's the case with Christian Yelich. I just don't buy that he's going to be, you know, certainly this bad going forward at all. I mean, I hope that he's got a few MVP-caliber seasons left in him. You really hope, because that's absolutely the Brewers have to have that production from Christian Yelich. And here's the other thing that worries me, Matt, and I don't know if you've thought about this at all, but with the CBA and the labor situation on the horizon for the 2022 season, where you could get this, you know, the echoes of the 94 season are in play here, where you worry about, you know, potential strike or lockout. And I had this sinking feeling back after he signed his contract, and then almost immediately we had this stoppage with the COVID-19 virus here. You know, you could lose the better part of 2 years in his absolute prime. And of course, that'd be such a Brewers thing to have happen. A lot of fan bases complain because they look at the negative. But man, wouldn't that suck to have a guy who's a potential Hall of Fame player lose 2 years or close to 2 years of his athletic prime due to circumstances that you know, he can't control? Oh, I'm dreading that a little bit. And so that's a worry as well for the next couple of years here for Yelich.
I'm concerned about and it was funny, and I agree with what you just said. When they were going through the negotiations prior to this season, and there were some times it looked really bleak, like it looked like there was not going to be a season at all, I was sitting there thinking, Major League Baseball is going to miss 2 out of 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Because we saw how – think about this. Those negotiations that just took place before this past season were taking place in a time – where the world was shut down, there was a pandemic, and it certainly did not feel like they were worried about the optics of it, but they had at least to be aware of it. If those optics don't exist a year from now, how bad are those negotiations potentially going to get?
Yeah. God, they hate each other. They just hate each other. And it seemed like they were, you know, after the whole, and you know, we all lived through it. I mean, I was mid high school time frame back then, in 94. But you know, Don Fear and the union, and you know, C-League as the acting commissioner and the owners, just the vitriol. I mean, you know, President Clinton tried to put them together. That didn't work. It was a terrible situation, clearly. And it's turned into it again. I was fooled for a while. It seemed like it got better, but boy, apparently not. And you're right. When this clears, you know, and they're going to be at each other's throats. And I know that everybody will be turned off to it. Maybe the only thing that saves it is is that people are, you know, the ratings truly are going down here. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if that affects anything at all, because baseball is still a very popular regional sport. And, you know, I don't think either side might pay a lot of attention to the damage they're doing to the game. I just don't know. They'll say they are, but will they really care? It's tough. And again, not to get too far out in front of ourselves here, but it's just the effect that it has, because there is clearly, right, and maybe you'd agree with this, I think you would, there's clearly a window developing here for the Brewers when you look at their pitching. I mean, I don't remember a time when their starting pitching looked as promising. And it's not like, you know, Brandon Woodruff has not achieved ace status yet. You want him to, but he is taking steps, and you can see a path to it. And Corbin Burnes, you know, again, short season, incredible turnaround. There's no guarantee he's going to sustain that, but he does have the talent and the stuff. Freddie Peralta's got a future. They could add a couple of more pieces here and there. Their bullpen always seems to come together and be really good. So the pitching window with club-controllable guys is there, and obviously Devin Williams just won reliever of the year. I mean, he's been incredible and, you know, has a bright future. So that gets you excited, but, you know, how short is the window, and they need to you know, I just feel like now's the time, but good luck, you know, with trying to put together a team right now. I want to be positive. I want to feel great about this, but then there's that worry about labor and about COVID and about everything coming up the next couple of years here.
Yeah, and we're not trying to be doom and gloom, and this is just kind of where the conversation has taken us, and there are a lot of positives. If the what you mentioned about when they got in the postseason before Corbin Burnes got injured, the pathway to a first round win against the Dodgers was being pitched a victory between Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff. Burnes doesn't pitch. Woodruff had four strong innings before he kind of lost it a little bit, but that was a legitimate possibility. I don't think it wasn't likely. Yeah. But it was legitimate that if you would have had those two guys, you could have maybe stolen that series if they both gave you their best type of outings. And that's something pretty special to have. Two guys, there's some teams, but there's not a lot of teams who have two guys who have that high of a ceiling who you could pitch 1-2.
I mean, when's the last time they had it? The Brewers, I'm talking about, right? I mean, not 2018. Definitely not 2011. I mean, that you wanted them to have it with Markham and Greinke, but that just didn't materialize in the playoffs, really. 2008, Sheets wasn't healthy, right? You could add Sheets and Gallardo maybe down the stretch. Well, and of course, CeCe, but when those guys, you know, CeCe, you know, pulled through, obviously, but beyond that, Sheets got hurt, and they could have had that 1-2 punch. That would have been outstanding. But then, when 82? I mean, Teddy Higuera and some, you know, it's been a long time, and you probably can rattle off some names I'm forgetting here, but I haven't been able to be excited about the Brewers starting pitching. You know, I don't think anybody, I shouldn't say anybody, but I don't think there'll be a lot of fans saying you've got to pick up a starting pitcher this offseason the way we have for the last, what, however many off seasons. And so that really is exciting.
And to that end, too, it's also funny because the year after Derek Johnson left, I can't tell you how many phone calls I got on the postgame show about fire Chris Hook, and I didn't get a single one of those calls this year.
Yeah, no kidding. And they were good. They were good.
I also got a bunch of fire Derek Johnson calls early on in Johnson's tenure, and then those went away. So, yeah I got a bunch of fire Andy Haynes calls this past year because the offense was so bad. We'll see what happens. But, again, it's so funny. People always want to fire coaches, and more often than not, if you just leave the coaches in place, more often than not, things are going to kind of turn around.
I always shake my head at fans, and I'm a fan, so I'm not under this this sort of illusion. I don't try to put up an illusion like I'm not a fan of the Brewers. I certainly am. So I'm probably one of them. But at the same time, I try to have a little more, deep breaths, you know, to take a step back. I mean, these guys have been coached since they were practically out of the womb. And it's not like the hitting coach, once they get to the big leagues, is going to make the big difference, right? Sometimes. But come on, man. You know, I mean, what are we talking about here? Just baseball doesn't work that way. And it's funny, the reactions. And I know we all want to blame someone. And when you play 162 games, you're going to lose at least, 65 at least. And that's if you're really good. And so there's going to be obviously very frustrating moments. And so in your position, Matt, to take those post-game calls, particularly when they're on a losing streak, it's got to be kind of taxing in a way for you, because it's just it gets a little silly, right? But yeah,
it's a fan base that cares, though. That's at the bottom. That's of everything that I learned during the shutdown was I appreciate the crazy people because they care. And I missed them during those 100 games that the Brewers didn't play this year. All right. For folks that are listening to this again, if for some reason you just caught this in the middle of the podcast, which would be somewhat of a challenge to do, but if you are in that category, we're doing a dual podcast here between Brewers Extra Innings and also Locked On Brewers. If you're listening on Brewers Extra Innings, Ben, tell folks about your podcast and where they can find you and kind of your off-season schedule now.
Yeah, no, thanks, Matt. It's available. We're still going to do multiple shows every week, at least three a week through the off season. And so the goal is a little shorter, you know, daily bursts of Brewers, trying to get a lot of interviews and different perspectives on the podcast about all sorts of different things through the off season. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the future of the Brewers and what's going on here at the big league level, but even the minor leagues and some of the off the field stuff we'll focus on through the off season as well. And we are available on any major podcast platform, or we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which is a network of local teams from all leagues, all major leagues, and even college throughout the United States. So you can check us out there as well. But any major podcast platform, I'll be there with you. Usually, again, at least three times a week here as we move through the Hot Stove League and all the things that we're going to watch unfold here, through the entire offseason. By the way, let me ask you this, because we heard, we'll finish on this maybe. But I heard Rob Manfred talking a little bit, or at least saw some headlines. Are we really not going to see the DH? Stay in the National League? I've seen some inklings about that, and I think that's a mistake. I think we've gone down the road, opened the box, and you got to stay with the DH. What do you think?
Yeah, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, is it just going to stick around forever? I would have said yes. The assumption was always that in the next collective bargaining agreement, it was coming to the National League. Yeah. So you thought when it was back there this year that it would just, okay, well, it's going to be there eventually anyways. It's going to be there, what, in 2022, no matter what? So why go with it in 2020, not go with it in 2021, and then come back to it in 2022? I like National League Baseball. I don't like the DH, especially.
Okay.
I enjoy the National League style of game more than I enjoy the American League style game. So if I get one more year without the DH, it'll make me happy. But from a common sense standpoint, if the idea is that they're for sure going to go to it after the next collective bargaining agreement, then yeah, why do you do it for 1 year and then walk it back? It doesn't make much sense.
That's baseball, though, right?
Yeah,
that's what we got. So yeah, no question.
Okay, so on that note, what if you could either have the runner on at second in extra innings or the expanded playoff be in place forever, which one of those two would you choose?
Okay, I'll go. I'll put a. Maybe it isn't fair, but I'll put a caveat on it. I would do the runner at second, for sure. Easy choice for me, but I would do it not in the 10th. I would do it maybe in the 11th or 12th, and I would do that. Maybe you could tier it a little bit. Maybe I'd be open to a runner on first to open the 10th, and then second, and then third, maybe not third, but that sort of thing, because yeah. I think it cheapens it too much. There's too many games that go to extra innings. Now, I'm all for eliminating the absolute marathon games. I know they're kind of fun to talk about the next day, but it's too much. When you go 18 innings like the Brewers did for the whatever game that was in 2019, they won it, which is great, but they went 18 and it was crazy and it taxes your pitchers too much. So I'm all for it, but not maybe right away to answer your question.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to like it. And then I don't think it's fair to the pitchers, but at the same time, it's really fun. Right?
Isn't it is fun.
It's fun the moment it starts. And I like, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I like the National League strategy. I love the strategy that goes along with that. And the advantage of, if you somehow do not get your opponent to score in the top of the inning, do you bunt the runner over to third in the bottom? Like all that sort of stuff. Yeah. I enjoy that. So I would stick with the runner on at second as well.
Yeah. Yeah, not expand it. Just too many games to expand the playoffs. It's just, come on. I know that it makes more money, but you can't play 162 and then have however many. I don't think they would put eight in each league. I wouldn't put it past them, I guess, but come on.
I think they'll do seven. My prediction is they for sure will have expanded playoff next year.
That's enough.
Yeah, it's enough. All right. Hey, this was fun. I enjoyed doing it. And we will do this again at some point over the course of the offseason.
Yeah, great, man. We certainly will. Thanks. I appreciate it. That's Matt Pauley from WTMJ Radio in Milwaukee. Again, check out his Brewers Extra Innings podcast. If you want to listen to this show again, listen to the Extra Innings podcast because it's on that today. We did a joint interview there, a joint conversation, which is usually how conversations work. You know, they're joint because you have with another person. Maybe more, but this was just two, so it went well. Anyway, look forward to having Matt on again. Maybe we'll do it again halfway through the offseason as we kind of join forces to get our conversation out to the masses on all major podcast platforms. Again, great to have Matt Pauley on. And find him on Brewers Extra Innings, the podcast, and also during the season, every night, the postgame show, every day for that matter, on News Radio 620 WTMJ. Is it still 620 or is this News Radio WTMJ? I forget. When I was a kid, it was 620. And you know, and then they moved to the FM, so whatever. But it's WTMJ Radio in Milwaukee. I'm really on it. You can always find yours truly at Lockdown Brewers on Twitter, at Face or at Cheesehead Talks as well, and Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. We'll give you another Brewers fix here from Kyle Loebner and Dr. Scott here coming up this week. Looking forward to a good week of interviews on the podcast. So just tune in for that on all major podcast platforms. And until then, I'm Ben Larson. Talk to you again when we deliver your Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.